want to talk to you about letting your inner child, you ever hear people talk about the inner child? Let your inner child come shining through in what you do in children's ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, if you're taking notes. Paul said this, he said, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews." Verse 22 says, "To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing." And so what Paul said was, he said, when I'm ministering to a certain group of people, I become like them. And I become like them so that I can reach them. And so one of the things that I want to talk to you about is that how do you, as a children's minister, become like them? How do you become one that they can relate to so that you become endeared to them, so that you become one of the group? You know, now I will say this, there's a challenge as a teacher that you never want to be considered their, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. You never want to be considered, and I see this with youth pastors a lot of time, you never want to be considered so much their friend that you're not an authority figure in their life. And I see a lot of youth pastors that slip into that mode where, and children as well, but at the end of the day, you do have to become somewhat like them to be able to be endeared by them and to become what I like to call a God voice in their life. You know, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 10 says there are so many kinds of voices in the world and none of them without signification. So there are lots of voices coming at children, lots of different voices, teachers, parents, friends, peers, television, music, all these voices coming to kids. How do you become a God voice in their life that resonates louder than all the other voices? Or at least as strongly as all the other godly voices? How do you become that voice in their life? Well, I tell you, it doesn't happen just by yelling really loud. I've tried that with my kids. It doesn't work. But the question is how do we really become that voice? And so I want to talk about that. And I want you to think about the significant voices in your past that stand out to you. You know, me and Kristen had an interesting conversation. She said, you know, now that she's at this stage in her life, she's thought a lot about the voices of her past that have meant something to her, really poured into her life. And, you know, how do we become one of those voices so that when a kid looks back and says, boy, that person really shaped me? How do I become that voice in a child's life? Because that's what God's called you to do. God wants to speak into these kids' life, and so through you, He wants to use your voice to speak to them. And so how do you become that echoing voice? There's a lot of ways to do it. You know, parents do it in certain ways. Pastor can be a strong authority figure. Coaches do it. But I believe that there's a way children's ministers can do it. I don't believe there's a stereotype that we should fit into to do it, but I do believe this, that there is a way we can conduct ourselves so that a child feels connected to us. And the thing is I can only share with you from my experience. So there may be other methods of doing this, but I can only share with you from my experience. And so my experience in connecting with kids may make you uncomfortable, but I'll tell you it works. And so I want to talk to you about, you know, how to do that. But before I get into the specifics of it, there's a general rule of thumb that I always have when ministering to kids, and it's just simply this phrase: go big or don't go at all. Choose to be larger than life when you minister to kids. You know, and the reason I say that is if I look at the things that kids most often relate to, they're larger than life. You know, even the characters on television, I think about iCarly. My kids love iCarly. Their favorite character on iCarly is Spencer. It isn't any of the other ones. Why? Because he's crazy and he's larger than life. You know, that's just the way he is. And kids relate to that. They're drawn in by that. And so one of the things that I always talk about is that, you know, if you're going to minister to children, you cannot minister to them with your adult hat on. You can't walk in there and just be Mr. Adult and is going to teach you today. I really love you guys, but yeah, you can't do that. You got to put your kid hat on and you got to become like a kid. Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10 says, "A curse on him who is lax in doing the Lord's work." You know the perfect formula for success? Do whatever you're doing half-heartedly. If you want to, the perfect formula for not succeeding is do whatever you want. Did I say the perfect formula for success?
Yeah.
I got your attention. At least you're listening. The perfect formula for not being successful is do everything you can half-heartedly. It says there's a curse on you if you do that. And the same thing with children's ministry. If you come in here to your classroom and you try to relate to them, and I'm just telling you the only thing that works for me as an adult, instead of doing what Paul said and becoming like them, then you won't be effective. You may get a little bit of truth across, and the Holy Spirit may be working in spite of you, maybe. I don't know. But the only way you're going to be effective is by doing it with all your heart. My son loves to play football. I already told you this one. You know, he's not the greatest basketball player, but he's a great football player. He does really well. But early on in his football career, for much as a 10-year-old can have a football career, but in early on, he was tentative about wanting to hit people. He was a bigger kid, and so nobody wanted to hit him. But when somebody came to hit him, he'd hesitate right before they hit him. And I tried to tell him, I said, look, you know, you're not going to be as effective as a football player unless you're the one delivering the blow. You're the one that's got to make the hit. Not, don't wait to take the hit, give the hit. And so you hear me on the sidelines yelling, deliver the blow. You know, I mean, as a dad, you know, almost those crazy, you know, recreation dads. Funny story about my kid. I digress here. But a couple years ago, I got to coach him this year, which was great, so I had a good reason to yell, but I gave him to somebody else to coach. But years ago, I was a parent, and I was always a parent, right? I guess I didn't just become, but I was a parent watching their kid from the sidelines, and he's playing his first game, and they're killing this team, doing real well, and I'm yelling at him, hey, no, Zach, move out here a little bit, I'm trying to tell him what to do. After the game, he walks out with his head down, sort of shaking his head, and I said, well, y'all won the game, you know, why, what's wrong? And he said, Dad, I'd just rather you shut up and watch because he yelled at me. So, but that being said, I did have to get across to him that if you're going to be a good football player, you've got to learn to deliver the ball. You've got to give it your whole heart. You can't do it halfway. Same thing is with children's ministry. I'm a firm believer that if anything's worth doing, you got to do it all the way. I don't want when the Lord comes back, I don't want it at the end of any task, at the end of the day. I don't want to have anything left. I want to say I gave it all. I don't want to drive home and say, you know, Lord, there was more I could have given them, but I just sort of, you know, dialed it in. I don't want to be that kind of person, and I don't think God wants us to serve him that way. And so when it comes to being like a child, you're going to have to be uninhibited in your enthusiasm about what you're doing and your enthusiasm to become like them. And so I want to talk to you about, you know, some things you're just going to have to be unbridled about when it comes to being a teacher of children. Number one, you've got to embrace the concept of fun. You've got to embrace the concept of creating an atmosphere of fun. Look at your neighbor and say, no drill sergeants allowed. If you come into your classroom with what I like to call the 3D attitude, you're not going to be successful. Dread, drudgery, and discipline. If you walk in there with an attitude of children are not to be seen, I mean, not to be heard, only seen, you're not going to connect. Why is that? Well, think of the opposite of the meaning of fun. The opposite of that meaning of fun, the antonyms for fun are boring, bummer, downer, drag. Who would ever be excited about learning in that kind of environment? I mean, I know there's some root learning you do in school, mathematics, some of that's not fun. But real life-changing learning flourishes when there are positive attitudes being emitted. And fun evokes positive emotions. Fun, is, the definition of it, is that which provides enjoyment. And so our classrooms should be an atmosphere where kids enjoy being there. And they should be a picture of heaven. When I think about heaven, you know, I think about Jesus saying, come on in and join the party, you know. I mean, it's that kind of atmosphere we need to create in our classrooms. And so fun evokes positive emotion, which is conducive for learning. There have been studies on that, psychological studies on that, that if you put a child in a classroom that's drab and there's no, there the rules are so staunch that, and then you put another child in a classroom where there's some fun and creativity going on, the child in the fun classroom will learn more quickly than the other child. And so we have to evoke, an attitude of fun. Not just in the classroom that we build, but in our attitudes. You know, the greatest mood setter in a classroom is the teacher. And so we have to be excited and look forward to what we're doing and be fun about it. And so how do you do that? Well, the first thing is just notify your face. Smile a lot. Don't be so concentrated on your message. Let me tell you about faith, kids, because it's, you know, so deep and important. No, smile when you're teaching. Be happy, be bright, be vibrant. And the other thing is be excited about being there. And say that you're excited about being there a lot. You know, so many times we don't convey what we feel, or what we're trying to feel. We don't convey it. I mean, throughout the classroom when I taught, I was always, kids, I'm so excited to be here today. We're going to have so much fun. And someone would look at me like, yeah, right. But I still was excited. I still projected an image of that. Man, I'm excited to be here. You create the environment through the words you speak and through the way you relate to these kids. And so you have to embrace this concept of, I've got to be a fun person. And I got to tell you, it'll help you in life. You may not be the most fun person to be around, but I got to tell you, teach kids for a while and just force yourself to be fun, and you'll find yourself all of a sudden having fun outside in life. Second thing along with fun is you have to be willing to invoke joy and laughter. Along with fun, there needs to be joy and laughter. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And so we need to be people that accompany that atmosphere of fun with laughter. Hand in hand with fun, there should be laughter taking place in your classrooms. I made it a point of mine that every class I did, I wanted every kid to laugh at least once. I mean, and really laugh. So how do you do that? Well, you just got to be downright silly. You got to be willing to sing silly songs and do silly things and become and dress up in silly images and do things that kids just would laugh at. One of my kids' favorite cartoons is SpongeBob. Because he's just downright stupid and silly. Well, I took note of that when I was teaching kids. All the kids in my classroom, a lot of kids in my classroom back in Greenville knew my favorite cartoon was SpongeBob. And I watched that show just to see what stupid things he would do. Not coarse, foolish jesting. I'm not talking about that. But just what stupid things he would do. I mean, what did he do? He made goofy faces. Did, you know, crazy little dances. You know, I mean, just, and I said, you know what? If kids like that, then I need to do that. Now, see, that makes us all real uncomfortable. But we have to be willing to invoke laughter in kids. I'm going to do an exercise right now. I'm going to ask you to do this. All right? So, let's see how we do this. Matter of fact, who wants to be my guinea pig? Okay, there's one. That's a good one. Come on up front. Let's see who else. No. These are. I need somebody old. I need, you're great too, but I need some older. Yeah. Come on up. And how about you, right back here? I'm gonna pick you. No. You gotta pick you. Come on up. You're gonna love this. This is gonna be good for you. You're gonna love this. It's gonna be great. Give a hand. You're gonna love this. You can smack me after it's over, okay? Now, when she hears the contest we're going to have here, she's really going to hate me. So we're going to have a funny face contest. All right? So what we're going to do is, I'm going to count to three, all right? And when I count to three, I'm going to ask you to make the three funniest faces you can make. All right, I'm going to ask you to make the three funniest faces you can make within 5 seconds. All right, the three funniest faces. Are you ready? You guys ready? All right, we're going to count this down. Ready? One, two. No. Wait. You got your three. You got your three. No clue. What's your name again? No. I definitely want you to do this. I absolutely want you to do this. So just think about it. Just think about it. Now listen, we're talking about unbridled enthusiasm, right? We're talking about engaging with the child. We're talking about how to get them where they, so who cares? Who cares what anybody thinks? This is about kids, right? So here we go. Ready? One, two. You sure you're ready? All right. You positive? All right, here we go. All right, so everybody, here we go. Y'all count with me this time. We're going to count to three. When I say three, I want to see three funny faces. Y'all got to judge who it's going to be, all right? Ready? One, two, three. All right, give him a hand. Now, look, I want you to notice what he did, though. Now, let me ask you a question. Did that stretch you a little bit? Did it make you feel a little uncomfortable to do this in front of everybody? Did it make you feel uncomfortable? My point is this. You can go ahead and have a seat. Give him a hand. Who did the best? Who do you think did the best? They all did good? Okay. I'm going to say they all did good, because I got to tell you, that takes a lot of guts to stand up in front of a bunch of adults and do that. But here's my point, is you have to not be too inhibited to be silly with kids if you're going to be effective in reaching them. There's something about crossing that line from being an adult into being a kid. I can remember one of the lessons I taught. I taught a class called Put On Your BVDs. How many of you know what BVDs? And I'll never forget, the kids, I had them close their eyes at the end of the prayer, and then I ran in the back, and I pulled on a pair of underwear over my pants. And I came out with Believe, Voice, and Destroy, All Doubt. Believe, paste it on one hip, destroy on the other one. I walked out, and I had jeans on over it, but I had the underwear on, and I just got goofy. And I said, hey, kids, and they're laughing, man. He's wearing his underwear. Ah, I'm wearing his underwear. And they're laughing, but I'm being silly. I'm being SpongeBob. And I said, yeah, but yeah, look, let me tell you why I'm wearing these. Because God wants us, and I was talking about how to actually walk by faith. How do you do it? You believe the word of God. You voice what you say, and you destroy all doubt. And they loved it. you've seen the commercial. If anybody watches SpongeBob now, I'm ready. He does stupid stuff. You've got to be ready. You've got to be willing to become like them. I got to tell you, I don't know of any kid that came to Dr. Church for a period of time that if they saw me right now, they wouldn't say, Captain Tom! I became endeared to them. I became a voice in their life that even now they look back upon. And I think about, I look back upon the people who did that for me, and I thought, that person, they really did care about me. They cared enough about me that they didn't care how stupid they looked. They just wanted me to know I care about you. And so we've got to be willing to invoke joy and laughter by taking off the inhibitions we have and becoming like kids. And then the last thing we have to do is we just have to be exaggerated with our emotions and our mannerisms. God does extravagant things to express His love for us. He parts Red Seas, knocks down walls. He sacrificed His own Son. And these exaggerated demonstrations are the things that spoke most loudly to us about who He is. And so we have to be willing to do that. We have to be, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction, it says in the NIV, but one translation says, and with demonstration. See, there's a demonstration that needs to take place through us to convey our love and our care and our concern for these children. And so that word deep conviction, actually, if you look it up in the King James Bible, and actually, if you look it up in the Greek, it means a fullness or abundance. He said that the power of the words that I spoke to you came with a fullness and with an abundance. They weren't just words of me standing behind something and speaking to you. There was passion about it. And so we have to become like a child through exaggerated emotions. I've already said that. The characters for me that I think stand out to me and stand out for my kids and are characters like, Spencer on iCarly or SpongeBob. They're just crazy. So you need to think about that when you do your classrooms. Does that mean you need to become a complete idiot when you're teaching kids? Well, I just made it my point that I was going to be one. That's just me. And my kids would tell you, I'm like that in normal life as well. I stand in the pulpit and teach on Sunday mornings, and if they were recording the videos that go on in my car with my kids, they'd never believe it, but I realize this with my kids. It doesn't change. For me to relate to my kids, I've got to become like a kid at times and be goofy and be, God, that's so stupid, but they know I love him, right? All right, and then the last two things I want to talk to you about that we need to be exaggerated about when we minister to kids are really a little less goofy, but is just as important. Number four is we need to be honest and sincere with kids. And really, I want to focus on the word sincere. Joshua said, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." That means don't be fake. One of the things I tried to be with kids is I tried to be real with them. That, I tried to convey the image that I really did love them, and it was a product of really what was going on in my own heart. There was sincerity about it. And you can't have sincerity about your care for the kids unless this last last thing really is applied to your life, and that is there needs to be an attitude of prayerfulness about the children that you minister to. I can't think of a better way to learn to love somebody than to pray for them. This is just a separate point. If you've got an enemy, somebody you can't forgive, start praying for them. You'll find real quickly how quickly you can forgive them. You say, but I don't want to do that. But, you know, the Bible says we need to forgive, right? Same thing for kids. I can't think of a better way for you to be sincere about your love for them than by spending time with them in prayer and allowing God to birth within you a love for them. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. There was times of intense prayer he spent for the kids or for the people he ministered to. And I think that as we spend time praying for the kids that we minister to, I mean, calling them out by name. I can tell you that's one of the things I did as a children's worker. I didn't just teach the kids and go home and never think about them. If there was an attendance list, I can't say I actually physically took a list home, but in my mind, I took home the names of those kids. And I prayed for them. I can tell you that this day, there's a little girl named Carolyn that I ministered to in the first church I ever was in, and I still pray for her to this day. With tears in my eyes often. I think about her. And I don't know why, but I took her home with me. Not physically, but I took her home in my heart. And I spent lots of time praying for her. And she's grown now and has her own kids. And there's still an occasion where I'll Facebook her and say, hey, you know, there was a song by Michael W. Smith that was out at the time called You're an Angel Waiting for Wings. And there'll be times where I still send her a text or a Facebook and say, hey, by the way, you're still an angel waiting for wings. It means something to her. So for me, take those kids' names home and pray for them. How do you pray for kids? Well, I'll tell you the best way to pray for kids is just to pray the Bible for them. And so Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 and in Ephesians chapter 3, he actually has prayers that he prayed for the believers in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 1 verses 5 through 18, and Ephesians chapter 3 verses 4 through 19, these are prayers that he prayed. And if if you don't know what to pray for these kids, just kneel down and put their name in here. You know, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, he says, for this reason, ever since I thought about your faith in the Lord Jesus, you know, if I was putting Carolyn's name in there, I'd say, ever since I thought about Carolyn's faith in the Lord Jesus and Carolyn's love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for Carolyn. I would kneel down and I'd pray those prayers for the kids that I was ministering to. And it would be different ones on different occasions. And as I came across one of those phrases that stood out to me, I would meditate and pray on that one a little more. And God would expound on what to pray there. And through praying those prayers, I developed a love, a sincere love for those kids. Not just a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night love, but a sincere love for those kids. Another way you can pray for kids is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. It says, for if I speak in an unknown tongue, For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. You know, a lot of the kids that we'll minister to, we just don't know what God has in store for them. We don't know the future that he has for them. And there are times where God will lay a child upon your heart and you don't know what to pray. And in those moments, you can pray in the Holy Ghost. You can pray in unknown tongues for that child and pray out the mystery of their life. Oftentimes, God will use, you know, and this is the principle of prayer that doesn't necessarily apply to children's ministry, but God, to move in the earth, needs a voice to be spoken so that he has words to act upon. And many times, you know, we don't know what to say, but we can speak that divine language, that heavenly unknown language to God and release words that he understands as expressions of our heart for that child into the earth. And he can begin to maneuver and begin to do things to bring about the mystery of their life so that it comes to pass. You know, I've prayed those prayers for myself and praying out the mystery of my own life. But God, man, God desires for us to do the same for the kids that we minister to. And so, you know, there's so many things, and when you're praying for that child, you become that child. You begin to associate with them. You begin to, you know, I said, you know, at the very outset, we need to become like a child. You begin to think about their life. You begin to think about, you know, you may be praying for them and think about a moment where the other kids didn't treat them the way they should be treated, and you think about the pain they went through, and all of a sudden God bursts within you this special heart for this child. And so we need to, you know, embrace becoming like a child, not only by being silly and goofy and all of those things, but also by being sincere and by praying for them and doing our best to associate and to become acquainted with them through the avenue of prayer. And I believe as we take off that restraint and we allow God to allow us to be goofy and crazy in the classrooms and when they're not around, spend time praying for them, God will show you goofy things that you can do for them while you're praying. And you'll walk in and do one of the most off-the-wall things, and it'll be because the Holy Ghost showed you what to do. Because He cares about those kids. And so we need to make sure that we are becoming like a child. Paul said at the very beginning of this, he said, "Though I am free and I belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew. To the weak I became weak." We need to associate, identify, allow these kids to identify us so that we can become that God voice in their life. So that years down the road, they look back. I can't tell you how many times in my life the people that I have associated with, I look back and say, how would they have done this? And I hear their voice. I don't hear it here, but I hear it here. And that's what God's called us to be, okay?